Well, we took a little extra time in the front of the service here. You're going to dock me on my message time here. And if you're visiting with us, I know that, you know, the shorter service is more popular now. But we still have the full-length service. we don't have an evening service. And so, you know, you got up, you combed your hair, you came. Might as well get the whole thing. Just get a full measure when you're here. So, Ephesians 6, if you'd go there, please. Ephesians 6, we've been on a series for a few weeks now. The children's presentation happened last week and the week before. And wasn't that good? We heard about healings. Is that right? Mm-hmm. One of those testimonies was a healing during that. Am I thinking right? Yeah. Praise God. Yeah, singing the song about joy. Yeah. Amen. This coming Friday, anything happening? This coming Friday, healing service. And like Phyllis was saying, one of us will be in one place and the other one will be in the other place. And we'll have a healing service there on Friday night. So pray about it, and if you come in, especially if you come in to receive, get quiet some before you come, and let's believe for the anointing to manifest. Let's believe to give place to Jehovah Rapha, yes, the Lord, who heals you. Hallelujah. He forgives all your iniquities. He heals all your diseases. It is written. Amen. Amen. Well, we've been talking about prayer for a number of weeks now, that we had a series called Teach Us to Pray. Now, if you weren't with us for that, I recommend it to you. That's actually, we're building off of that with what we're doing now. And again, it won't cost you anything. You can go after the service to the back and ask about it, and they'll tell you. The easiest thing is to download it. Go to our website. Again, no charge, no cost. You can get the whole thing. And it is so important that we pray. Most people don't. It's just a fact. Oh, they might pray a little hurried prayer about this or that, especially if they get in trouble. They might pray about something. But as a way of life, spending any significant time praying, communing with the Father, it's rare. Most people just don't do it. And boy, is it a mistake. I said, it's a mistake. If you don't pray, if you go for days and weeks and don't pray, you're going to miss God. Somebody says, don't say that. Listen to me. If you never check in, if you never seek God and spend any time communing with Him about things, you're going to jump to some wrong conclusions. You're going to make some assumptions and some other things, and you'll make mistakes, and you'll make a lot of them. And you can blame God, you can blame the devil, you can blame your neighbor and your friend, but it's you that didn't pray and didn't seek God and didn't hear from God. Every one of us need to pray every day. Huh? We need to spend time communing. And nobody else can do your praying for you. Your husband, your wife can't do your praying for you. And if you're old enough to understand what I'm saying, your mom and daddy can't do your praying for you. Now, when the little ones that don't understand, they can. But as soon as you can understand, the Lord expects you to come to Him personally, directly for yourself. Jesus prayed. He prayed a lot. Sometimes He'd pray all night long. If He needed to pray, we need to pray. Right? Need to pray. Now, you don't have to. You can miss God. You can be clueless. It's what the enemy's doing, what's going on. You can miss the plan if you want to. But that's foolish. Pray. Did the Lord tell us to pray? Did the Scriptures tell us to pray? There are reasons why. It's not just about being religious. He wants us to get everything that he has for us. And you can't just write, you know, 1,000 rules for every situation. There's no substitute from being led by the Spirit, hearing from God daily. We must have it. And prayer is a part of that. Well, we talked about that in Teach Us to Pray. So if you weren't with us, even if you were, wouldn't hurt you to hear it again.
That's right.
Go online, watch it, hear it again. No cost, no charge. We're on this series now we're calling All Kinds of Prayer. There's more than one kind of praying. And in Ephesians 6:18, he had talked about taking unto us the whole armor of God that led up to praying. And he said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The NIV says it like this. The NIV says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers. So you see where I got my title from. All kinds of prayers. My father in the faith, Kenneth Hagin, who's in heaven now, he taught on some of these things, and he'd say that people would say to him, well, prayer is prayer, isn't it? He said, yeah, and sports is sports. But you don't play football with basketball rules. Huh? You don't play soccer with baseball rules. Yeah, they're all sports, but there's different rules. There's different guidelines for different ones. And that's what he used that example in talking about praying. There's the prayer of agreement. There's the prayer of consecration and dedication to the will of God. There's the prayer of faith. There's a prayer of agreement. There's numerous kinds of prayers. And they're not all the same. But we've been camping out. We hadn't got to some of that yet. We've just been camping out on this first phrase of in the Spirit. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Now, the Lord through Paul, the Holy Spirit through Paul in 1 Corinthians 12, talking about the manifestations of the Spirit, he starts it off by saying, I would not have you ignorant concerning the gifts or manifestations of the Spirit. Now, why would you start out that way? Because there is so much ignorance on this subject. Now, I certainly don't claim to know all about it, but this is an area where it is uncommon to find any kind of understanding. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Like one person said, you know, that just means pray with more intensity. Pray with vim and vigor. Where's that at in the Scripture? Huh? Where'd you find that? No, that's not what it means. Praying, you hear both terms in the English version, with the Spirit and in the Spirit. What does this mean? And that's what he's exhorting us to pray in the Spirit. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now go with me to 1 Corinthians 14. We touched on this, but let's remind ourselves. You'll find out sometimes what something is by finding out what it's not. It helps you to eliminate some things. So in 1 Corinthians 14, he gives some explanation of praying in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:2. Well, let's see. Just go to verse 14 for time's sake. Verse 14, if I pray in an unknown tongue, actually the word unknown is added. It's just if I pray in a language, and that is a language unknown to the speaker. Doesn't mean that it's unknown to everybody, but it's unknown to the speaker. The Scripture talks about the languages of men and of angels. There are angelic languages. And there are all the different variety of languages of men. I assure you, there are some languages in the earth being spoken today that if you heard them, you would think, no, that's not a language. Because it's so different from what you're used to, but it is a language. And so, on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came, and remember we're talking about praying in the Spirit, with the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit came, it says they were all filled with the Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now this has been ignored, this has been rejected by a lot of groups, but the Bible still reads the same as it used to. Right? And praying in a language you don't know with the help of the Holy Spirit belongs to every believer today. Now, if you don't think so, you're being robbed of something that you so much need. Because if you don't know how to pray like this, you are limited to your head. You're limited to your understanding. And honey child, that ain't enough.
No.
You need more. And that's one reason why people don't pray as much as they should, is because you can pray everything you know about the situation in 5 minutes.
That's right.
And then repeat it again 3 times. And then what do you do?
Yeah.
We need help.
Yes, we do.
Praying. And that's what Romans 8 talks about. The Holy Spirit helps our weaknesses. He helps us to pray according to the will of God. And this is part of that way. And this is part of praying in the Spirit. Praying with a language you don't understand is part of praying in the Spirit. That's an answer to that question. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? It's not the whole answer. It's part of the answer. Now keep reading. He said, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. Now, that's not the same as the Holy Spirit praying. He helps us, but it's actually your spirit praying. When you pray with the Spirit, you have to use your vocal cords. You have to use your tongue. You have to breathe and speak just like you do when you're speaking in English or any other language. The Lord does not make you speak. He does not force you to speak. He doesn't speak through you like a radio or a speaker. It's you doing the speaking. The difference is the utterance is not coming out of your head. It's coming out of your heart. And so when we're talking about praying in the Spirit, praying with the Spirit, we're talking about heart praying instead of head praying. Spirit praying instead of flesh praying. Are y'all okay? Keep reading. He said, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. And this is one of the reason I'm going over it again. This is one of the big answers to the question, how do I pray in the Spirit? What is praying in the Spirit, praying with the Spirit? It's not praying with the understanding. Y'all agree?
Yes.
You awake?
Yes.
Isn't that what he said right here? If my spirit's praying, but my understanding is unfruitful. That's the difference is the source of utterance, where it's coming from. He goes on to say, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. So are these the same thing? No, they're not. Is praying with the understanding the same as praying with the Spirit?
No.
Just louder.
No.
And more intense.
No.
You see what I'm talking about? No. I'm not making fun of anybody. I'm just saying don't accept answers that are unscriptural from people who don't pray in the Spirit, trying to explain why they don't. For years, I was a Christian who didn't pray in the Spirit. Now, for years, I've been a Christian who does. I'm qualified to know. Right? As many of you. If somebody doesn't do it, they don't know what they're talking about. Right? But don't let somebody tell you that's just available for prophets and prophetesses and especially spiritual people and whatever. That is not true. This is available to every child of God, and you need this. Hmm? Any other folks that pray in the Spirit, speak in tongues, would you agree and say yes?
Yes.
Would you say you need this?
Yes.
You need this. You saw all these hands?
Yep.
We just got through saying God's no respecter of persons, right? He doesn't play favorites. So he's not going to withhold something that's valuable that all of us are enjoying, withhold it from you. For why? Why? And you need it just as much as anybody else. Well, it matters who you listen to. It matters what you believe. If you believe all that's passed away, then you won't be bothered with it. But it'll still belong to you. He said, I'll pray with the Spirit. I'll pray with the understanding also. I'll sing with the Spirit. I'll sing with the understanding also. So the issue is source. Where is it coming from? The head or the heart? Go with me to Romans 8, please. Romans, the 8th chapter. Talking about praying in the Spirit. Praying with the Spirit. Romans 8 and the 5th verse. Romans 8 and 5. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, you could say, they mind the things of the Spirit. Keep going. For to be carnally, now that word carnal, that's the same word as flesh. To be flesh-minded, like what he just got through saying, is death. And to be spiritually-minded is life and peace. Oh, I hope you're not sleeping. This is so important here. We prayed a prayer a while back, and this is something I've been studying and looking at and believing God for decades on this particular subject. And that is, what is man? What God made when he made a human being? What we are? And I thank God for any light that we have on it, but I've just known there's more, there's so much more. And I've been believing for it. And I've seen some things here and there, and I asked you to pray with me, what, a few weeks ago?
Yeah.
Are you still believing with me?
Yes.
That we will get more understanding on this. The Bible talks about the spirit of man. The Bible talks about the soul of man. The Bible talks about the mind of man. The body is obvious. We got that part.
Right?
But the body is not you. That's not all there is to you. A brain, a body. That is actually just the physical. The Bible calls it a temple. Our tabernacle, it's the physical dwelling place for you. And you will still exist when this body is dead. When the body dies, that is not the end of you. You will come when your body quits breathing, and that's the sign that you're no longer in your body, is when it quits breathing. Because the reason you're breathing, the source of that is the spirit of man. Take a breath. Breathe out. That's how we know you're still in there. And you're looking at me through those two windows we call eyes. I see your house. I don't see you. You're in there. Same thing, you're looking at me. But we are spirit and soul and mind. And then and the Bible talks about the hidden man of the heart, describing all of it. And don't assume, so well, you know, the soul is this and the spirit is this. A lot of times these quick definitions don't tell the whole story. And, there's so much in the Word about it. It just goes on and on and on. And some of it, I'm sure, will be a mystery when we leave here, because God has made something when He made us. It is astounding what He did. Like the psalmist said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And that we are. I mean, what the organs do, what the blood does, it's just amazing, astounding. And that's not looking at the eternal part of you. That's just looking at the sheath that you are inside. Well, what is the soul of man? And what is the spirit of man? Because that's part of what we're talking about, praying with the Spirit. And he said, the translators, sometimes they would capitalize Spirit, and sometimes it's a small word, and they're trying to figure which one it is. Not saying they always got it right either. Capitalization is not part of the original Scriptures. But you have to read the context to see if he's talking about your spirit are the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit who indwells us in our spirit. And because He's in us, He's in our body. Our body becomes a temple of the Holy Spirit because He's inside us. And praying in the Spirit, praying with the Spirit, is praying from there. Not from the outside. It's not flesh praying. It's spirit praying. Look at it again. Romans 8, 5. They that are after the flesh, or those that follow that, how is that done? It's where your mind is. They mind the things of the flesh. They that are after the Spirit, they mind the things of the Spirit. Your mind is a part of your internal unseen being, not your brain. Your brain is not your mind. It's the physical organ your mind functions through. If your brain was removed, you'd still have your mind. Now, you couldn't express yourself in this physical realm because you need your brain to do that, but you'd still be you. You'd still have all your memories, all of that. Your mind is a part of your eternal being, and as such, there are no limits to what you can learn and understand, because it's made in the image and likeness of God. You and I will be learning and growing and developing and understanding throughout the ages to come. So, good news, you are as dumb as you will ever be right now. After this, you just get better and better. We can put this in the rearview mirror. Is that right? You know, maybe in ages to come, we talk to you. You go, man, you remember how dumb we used to be back there on the earth in 2025. But God had mercy on us, and we kept developing. But here's the great thing. Your mind is the part of your being that you can focus with. You focus. And you can focus out, or you can focus in. That was worth you coming to church this morning, right? Right there. Your mind. Anybody ever told you before? Concentrate. What does that mean? Focus on that. Just like a camera. If a camera is out of focus, it's all grainy and can't even tell what it is. It's just a bunch of stuff. But when you focus and the image gets clear and you know you're looking at a specific thing, well, that's where your mind is. And that's what he's saying. If you mind the flesh, if you focus on that, read the next verse here. That was verse 5, verse 6. For to be fleshly focused results in death. Now, that doesn't mean you just fall dead physically.
Right.
There's spiritual death that results in different manifestations of death. But death is the opposite of life.
Yeah.
Death is dull. It's draggy. It's slow. It's deterioration.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm? It's collapse. It's aging. That's death in its different stages. But the opposite is life.
Amen.
Death is depressing.
Right.
Death is not joyful. But life is.
Amen.
Life is peace and joy.
Mm-hmm.
Life is quickening, exhilarating,
mm-hmm.
exciting.
Yes.
Hmm? So if you have been bored and dull and depressed, guess what? Carnally minded.
Yeah.
Carnally minded. Focused on just what's out here. Focused on what you're seeing and hearing and feeling out here in this realm of curse and death.
Yeah.
When there's so much light right on the inside in the person of the Holy Spirit. There's so much life. There's truth that makes you free. There is the quickening of the Holy Spirit. If you take your focus from out here and you focus in here where He is, hallelujah, you become spiritually minded. You begin to experience not death, not depression, not confusion. You experience life and peace. Hallelujah. Joy and strength. And excitement. I ask Phyllis, you know, just every once in a while I'll say, what are we excited about?
Amen.
What are we excited about? Because if you're excited about nothing, you're in faith about nothing.
Right.
You're not believing God. You're not in faith. And that's not God's fault. He's got a good plan. He's got a path that gets brighter and brighter. Right? And if you're looking at what He's looking at, it's going to stir you up. Huh? If you're looking at His plan for you, it's going to make you happy. It's going to excite you. So we don't have to have a word of knowledge to tell what you've been looking at. We can look at you and see what you've been looking at. Huh? Because to be carnally minded, to be flesh focused, is death. Death, down, drag, dull, depression, confusion, hopelessness. And isn't that where most of the world is? Yeah, why? Because they're not looking at God. And I said, well, how do I look at God? If you're born again, you don't have to look far. He's right on the inside. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He's right there with you. Focus. So when we're talking about praying in the Spirit, we're talking about praying from there instead of from here. Now in, go with me over to Luke the 18th chapter. Luke 18. Is this okay? Luke 18. You know, if you don't like what's playing, change the channel. Right? Change the channel. The enemy is, he's such a tricky, sneaky cuss. He tries to get you to loop. I don't know if you noticed it, but the pattern is on the news. What do you mean? They play the same stuff. Over and over and over and over, and they emphasize the bad stuff. Well, that's the enemy's pattern right there. And he will bring to you the wrong thing said, the wrong thing done, the wrong thing that could happen. And if you listen to him, you just loop it, loop it, loop it, loop it. And we can tell by looking at you, by how sad you are, and how weak you are, and how hopeless you're acting. That's what you've been looking at. Oh, but if you look at what God has for you. I'm telling you, it's change the channel. Change the channel. Refocus. Put your focus from out here to inside. Spirit-minded is life and peace. In Luke 18, the 10th verse, Jesus gave us an example of prayer not to do. He said two men went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other a publican. Well, the Pharisee was considered the most spiritual person in society. They were the word people of the day. Now, I mean letter of the word, not spirit. Letter of the word. The Pharisees and the lawyers, and the law meant studying the law of Moses, and strict religious. And the other guy, the publican, he's a tax collector. And they were hated. They were hated. Because a lot of them were crooked. And when they'd give you the tax bill, they would pad it. They would add to it and pocket the difference. And so you could tell they were not liked. And so can you see he's given us one at each end of the spectrum? You know, supposed to be the churchy temple goer, you know, scripture quoter, and the liar and thief over here, you know, and the Pharisee and the publican. Keep going. And he's talking about them praying. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. And he said, God, I thank thee, I'm not like other men are. Anytime you hear people say, I guess I'm just not like most people. Not good. The other things that are going to start coming out. Some people didn't like that. It's still true. I'm not like other men. Extortioners. Unjust. Adulterers. Or even this publican over here. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all I possess. And the Lord said, man, that's a good prayer. Huh? The publican hated. When he walked through the door, nobody shook his hand. Standing afar off. See, he found him a corner where nobody was. He wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven, but he smote his chest. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Well, that's not an elaborate prayer. No Hebrew or Greek words. No talking about anything he's done worth anything. He said, I tell you, this man, the publican, he went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself will be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. They prayed from two different places. One prayed out of his head. The other prayed out of his heart. Come on, can you see this? And notice, go back to the 11th verse. The Pharisee stood and prayed, and I always laugh when I read this, thus with himself. God, Jesus is saying the Father wasn't even in the conversation. He's just praying with himself. Well, now, what good is that? No good at all. For all the good it's doing him, actually, he'd have been better off not standing up and praying this. God didn't hear it. God wasn't involved in it. He's praying with himself. Is that praying in the spirit?
No.
That's praying in the flesh. That's praying out of your prideful head. Praying out of your religious idea. And that's why the Lord keeps telling us, pray in the spirit. Don't just pray in the flesh. Don't just pray a bunch of stuff that you heard and that you saw. Pray from here. And learn to pray by inspiration instead of something pre-planned out of your head. And that really is what praying in the Spirit is praying by inspiration. Not out of your intellect, but out of your spirit. Now think about, we spent some time on the series about teach us to pray on what we call the Lord's Prayer. And we said each one of those things that he said is a category of prayer, a focus of prayer. You remember how it starts off? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. You don't start off with I need. I've got to have, I want to have. See, that's just praying out of the flesh, how you feel, what you see. You start off by honoring God, showing Him regard and respect. The Bible said the fear of the Lord is the start. It's where wisdom and understanding begins. You come disrespectful, you won't get anything. The way you start your prayer is acknowledging how big God is, how great He is, how good He is. Our Father who is in heaven, glory, hallowed. Everybody say hallowed, hallowed. Hallowed. That means holy, revered, special, glorious is your name. And then what's the next thing we focus on? I gotta pay my bills. No. No. Can you see what I'm talking about? See, that's flesh praying. Because that's what's on your natural carnal mind. And that's because your mind is focused out here. What's the next thing? Your kingdom come. Your will be done. You don't even know how to look at your things unless you see them in the context of His kingdom and will. Right? And a lot of things you shouldn't even be dealing with because it's not a part of His will. It's not a part of His plan. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Remember what Jesus said? Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the what? The kingdom of God. Then what? All these things He talked about, what you eat, what you drink, what you wear, all those things shall be added to you if you do what? If you seek the kingdom of God first. First, what's my part in the kingdom of God? What's God doing in the earth? What does He want done? Well, He said, go into all the world, proclaim the good news to every creature. He said, I'm building my church, right? You and every one of us should have a part in this. And that should be priority one before anything else. And only if that is the true priority will the other things begin to come into focus where they need to be. You won't see the other things if your main purpose in living is to make yourself happy and get what you think you want. That's not seeking His kingdom. That's not the same thing. You can do it, but you'll be confused and You'll make a lot of mistakes and you'll take a step forward and get knocked back three. There's a better way. I said there's a better way. There's His way. But His way is Him first. And His kingdom first. And His plan first. And when you're praying in the Spirit, that's a big part of what you're praying. Is the will of God. And we need His help to pray that. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Go with me back to 1 Corinthians in closing, I think. Let's stop this praying with ourselves. I don't want to do any of that. Do you? I mean, that just sounds like a big waste of time, which it is. Praying from out here versus praying from inside. Oh, thank you, Lord. No, I'm not ready to close. Thank you, Lord. The Lord reminded me. Thank you, Lord. Go to Psalms. The book of Psalms. I was moving too fast. Were y'all rushing me?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Psalm 16. Thank you, Lord. We didn't need to miss this. Psalm 16. You got time?
Yes.
Take a breath and relax. That fried chicken will wait. It'll wait. You'll be okay. You got the rest of the day to think about it. Right? Psalm 16. What does it mean to pray with the Spirit? Psalm 16:7. The psalmist said, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. My reins. What are your reins? Did you know you had reins? This is an interesting word here. It means what you think it means. Reins, like a horse. It also means the innermost organs, like kidneys. The innermost, deepest part of you. And we had read in Proverbs a couple of weeks ago that it said the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. And we talked about God uses your own spirit to guide you and to lead you. And we're talking about praying in the Spirit, praying with the Spirit. We're talking about Spirit-guided prayer. Spirit-directed prayer instead of head-led prayer or flesh-oriented guided prayer. And he said, my reins instruct me in the night seasons. The complete Jewish Bible says, I bless Adonai, my counselor. At night, my inmost being instructs me. Hallelujah. Go ahead and say that out loud. I bless Adonai.
I bless Adonai.
He is my counselor.
He is my counselor.
And at night.
My inmost being
instructs me. Hallelujah. Why would that be at night? Because a lot of times that's when your head gets quiet. When your head would quieten down and your body quietens down. A lot of times just as you're going to sleep or even while you're asleep or just as you're waking up before you're conscious so much of things around, it's an opportunity for God to get something through to you. Coming not from out here, but from inside you. Your reins. The reins. Now, go to Psalm 32. You're there in Psalm 16. Psalm 32. Did you see why I said we don't want to miss this part? It's important. Psalm 32:8. Psalm 32:8, he said, I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you shall go. Should we accept this as a word from the Lord,
yes.
Huh? For ourselves?
Yes.
Said out loud, He will.
He will.
Instruct me.
Instruct me.
And teach me.
And teach me.
In the way.
In the way.
I should go.
I should go.
He will guide me.
He will guide me.
With His eye.
With His eye.
Hallelujah. Well, His eye is what He's focused on.
Okay.
And so I need to be focused on what He's focused on.
Right.
Keep reading. Verse 9. Be not as the horse or mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, not reins. Okay, have I got any... Equestrians, horse people, rein is not a bit. Huh? He said, whose mouth must be held with a bit and bridle, lest they come near to you. The other translations say, or else they won't come to you. They won't do what you want them to do without the bit, pulling on the corner of their mouth, without the bridle in their mouth, pulling on them. And then actually what they're responding to is not so much you, but it. Getting away from the discomfort of that. And what's he saying? Don't be like a donkey. Huh? Like a dumb donkey. Don't be, right? Don't be like that. What does he want us to be? Rain trained. Rain trained. Any horse people around? Huh? Rain trained is not a wild, uncontrollable animal. Rain trained is like power steering on your horse. Rain trained is a horse that has been trained and is used to this kind of direction and trusts the rider or owner. And you can be, you know, going along with the horse and just lay the rein on the side of their neck. Well, that horse, it's got thick skin, big old strong horse. That little light rein must feel like a feather if you just lay it on there. But when you do, they feel that slight pressure and they go. You lay the rein on the other side. Just lay it there. Just lay it there. And they go, okay. Turn that way. Rein trained. There are some people the Holy Spirit finds difficult. Like a stubborn mule. He's trying to get them to do something. He's told them 12 times and sent 3 people by him to talk about it. But no, they ain't going to do what they're going to do. Yeah, yeah, and you can. There's others he finds a delight to work with. He doesn't need to yell at them. He doesn't need to raise his voice. He doesn't have to tell them 20 times. He gives them a witness. Oh, come on, y'all with me or not? He gives them a witness. And they sense, this is not hearing an audible voice. This is not seeing a vision. This is not falling into a trance. This is not somebody coming to you yelling, thus saith the Lord. Witness. And you go, I know who that is. I know who that is. And so you, without questioning it, without arguing with it, without reasoning about it, you go, that's how we're going then. Hallelujah. And that's how you get on the path. And that's how you stay on the path. And that's how you pray in the Spirit. And that's how you pray out the will of God. Oh, somebody say rain train. Rain train. Proverbs 26:3 said, a whip for the horse, a mouth bit for the ass, and a rod for the back of fools. Fools only learn the hard way. They don't get it. They don't respond. But you and I don't have to be fools. Somebody said out loud, I'm not a fool. I don't have to learn the hard way. I listen. I pay attention. And his spirit guides me through my reins. Instructs me in quiet times, and I respond and I obey. Hallelujah. Didn't he say, if you be willing and you be obedient, you'll eat the good of the land? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And those two verses I mentioned to you, let's finish with them. 1 Corinthians 12 talked about if you pray in the Spirit. Like you just go. You go to Romans 8 for time's sake, and I'll just read this to you. 1 Corinthians 12, in talking about praying in another language, he said, "If you pray in another tongue, he said, your spirit prays." Well, actually, the 14th chapter is what I'm talking about. 14. He said, verse 2, he that speaks in a tongue speaks not unto men but unto God, for no man understands him, again, not from the understanding. Howbeit in the spirit, he's doing what? Speaking mysteries. Now, mystery is something not known, something not understood. Can you pray about the mysteries of God that you don't even know in your head? Yes. Thank God. That's why what happened when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, that's why it happened that way. So that we would have this amazing ability that the enemy can't even get in on. It's spirit is code talk. That the enemy can't break the code. Now, he learns a lot when we open our mouth and say stuff. But there are ways to pray about things that the enemies can't even get in on. And he said, he that speaks a tongue, verse 4, he edifies himself. He builds himself up. So again, can you see, it's not tearing you down. It's not wearing you down. There's life in it. That means spirit, not flesh. Inside, not outside. And Romans 8. Romans 8. He talked about, we read the scriptures about minding the flesh or minding the spirit. And carnally minded is death, spiritually minded is life and peace. And then in verse 14 he said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Verse 16, the Spirit itself or himself bears witness with what? Our spirit, that we are the children of God. And down in verse 26, he says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. Now, infirmity just literally means weakness. It could be because of any number of things. But one of the big weaknesses is we don't know what to pray for or how to pray as we ought. Limited by our understanding, by our lack of knowledge. And so he said, the Spirit helps our weaknesses, our limitations, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Which is why he keeps telling us, pray in the Spirit. Pray with the Spirit. Why? Because you don't know, because of all that you don't know. There is so much you don't know. So what? But you got somebody inside you who knows. Who knows? Who has all the answers? Come on, come on, think about this. Everything that is the perfect will of God for you to be, say, go, do, be a part of, enjoy, have for the rest of your life, He already knows it all. And He's right on the inside of you right now. Which is why we would be such dummies to just focus out here all the time, because the answer's not out here. Huh? Or just to rack our little brain 10,000 times looking for the answers, because it's not there. It's not up there. But you know where it is? Huh? Inside you. Inside you. The Spirit helps our weaknesses in that we don't know, put it on the screen again please, we don't know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit, actually it should be Himself, makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He is giving utterance and influencing us from the inside in things we can't even express in articulate speech. We can't even enunciate and express any understanding with, and yet He's enabling us to pray the mysteries of the plan of God. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 27, he said, he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he's making intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Wasn't that the first thing the Lord taught us to pray? Your kingdom come. Your will be done on this earth just like it is in heaven. Stand up, please.